Exposure.
Pulse 95 live from Exposure at the Expo Center Sharjah.
And we're back right here covering everything Exposure at Sharjah Expo Center. Join with me here, my lovely co-host, Amnia Asaleh. And it's been such an invigorating two-hour program. With as much as we can try to cover in these 2 hours, there's just so much happening. But we'll try our best, guys. And what's also important is introducing you guys and exposing you guys to world-class photographers, which honestly, you can get a chance to see right here at Exposure, but we also have one with us here as well. It's our honor to welcome Nicole Tung, a fearless photojournalist hailing from Hong Kong with a focus on conflicts and humanitarian issues worldwide. Her work has been featured in renowned publications and such as the New York Times. Nicole, who spent 2022 documenting the Russian conflict of Ukraine, is not only a decorated artist, but also a passionate advocate for the safety of freelance journalists globally. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Thank you so much for having me here.
I got the chance to attend the opening ceremony. You had such a heartfelt speech about the heroes, the unsung heroes, that risk their lives to go out into war-torn conflicts to cover the truth, the harsh reality of our modern, conflicts, our proxy wars, and it's something that honestly opens our eyes to even the ignorance at times, of things that we see before our eyes. And I have to give you complete absolute admiration and respect for that.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And yes, I think it was really important in the opening ceremony yesterday to highlight the work that photographers and journalists do, because now it's becoming more perilous to do this kind of work. As we've seen last year, so many journalists were killed in the conflict, especially in Gaza. So we want to ensure or want to make sure that people are reminded or don't forget that there are people that are out there collecting the news, and they're behind the stories that you see on the television or in the newspaper or on the radio.
Absolutely. Now, looking at it, Nicole, your work has taken you to some of the world's most dangerous conflict zones, including Libya, Syria. And so how do you prepare yourself mentally, emotionally, and physically for such challenging assignments?
I think initially when I was covering Libya, I was 23, 24 years old. I was very young. I don't think I fully understood what I was really getting myself into. I was very lucky to work with journalists who were veteran reporters at that time, and I learned by watching and being with them. So each time I now go to areas of conflict to cover stories and to work on news gathering there, the best way for me, everybody has their own way of doing it, but for me it's really to make sure my equipment is organized and I know where everything is, and that's how I feel comfortable about operating in efficient, mm-hmm. efficient way. But also just knowing that you will encounter things, violence, traumatic situations, and things like that, and just knowing that you have the ability, or you should have the ability, to process it afterwards, whether that's looking through your photos and remembering what's happened, because sometimes the camera can be not a shield, but it can sort of distance you from the subject you're covering at the exact moment, because you're busy photographing, you're busy working. But later on, you do think about, oh yeah, okay, I did feel those things, and that's okay.
Which also, brings another question about how do you prepare yourself for just some of the challenges you may face, when you're trying to approach the moment you need to capture something?
Often it's steeling yourself for something that might be very emotional. I think it's very important as a photographer to feel how, not necessarily understand, but you try and feel the situation. In Ukraine, for example, or even Libya, I cover so many families that have lost somebody, and in those moments you are stepping into their realm, and they're giving you that opportunity and that chance, that honor in a way, and you have to respect that. So I try to just give a bit of space between me and the people I'm photographing to be respectful of their space, of their grief. But also I try to photograph it in the most dignified way as possible.
Very much so. Something that I've noticed at your exhibition, which I urge you guys to check it out, it's actually one of the first exhibitions you see when you enter Exposure at the main entrance. It's titled As Strong as the War, As Soft as the Peace. And I will say from now, like just a disclaimer, it can be a very heart-wrenching and emotionally inducing exhibition with imagery that covers themes of war, themes of casualty. But I think at the same time, it's a very necessary exhibition that sheds light on the harsh reality of modern conflicts. And one thing I do remember from your speech is how you advocated for the safety of freelance journalists. And I just want to ask more about what can organizations do to better help protect and provide that necessary safety for those journalists?
That's a really good question. So the industry, the journalism industry, has shifted more and more towards working with freelancers rather than hiring staff people to work in news gathering and also in conflict zones over the past, I would say, 15 years. And some news organizations have realized that it's beneficial to them to provide courses in what we call hostile environment first aid training courses, so HEFAT courses. And so what they do is they subsidize the financial side of it to allow the freelancers, because these are, you know, these training courses, they run into the thousands of dollars. So the news organizations, they subsidize the training courses, and so that allows freelancers who would otherwise maybe not be able to afford these courses on their own to go and take these courses, learn how to do first aid in combat zones, how, you know, freelancers should perhaps act when they come across a dangerous situation or perhaps even a hostage situation. So these courses are very beneficial to both the publications who hire the freelancers and also, of course, the freelancers themselves. And I think it's just general awareness by the news organizations in terms of what it's like to work on the ground, because I think sometimes when you're not there yourself as an editor, you don't always understand what maybe your employee or your freelancer is going through, and the difficulties and challenges in actually reporting. So sometimes we have a lot of challenges with access, asking people if we have permission to do something, or maybe a military or government is blocking your access to something. You know, so some understanding and awareness of these situations is very helpful.
Absolutely. Now, one thing that caught my eye when during your opening ceremony or the speech that you gave was you mentioned that when images flood our minds, it takes meaningful ones for them to remain. And so my question to you is, what role do you believe does photojournalism play when it comes to shaping the public perception of global issues? And do you think the public gets to a point where they become sadly desensitized due to the massive amount of just pain that they witness on a day-to-day basis through these photos?
Yeah, I do think to a certain extent that people can become desensitized, especially now with social media. When you're scrolling, sometimes you just see the same news being repeated over and over again, and you almost don't really pay attention to it. It's the same news item coming from the same place, you know, and you tend to scroll past it or something. But I think when I was talking about meaningful imagery, it really is about making sure that the photos that we create have the necessary information. So it's a slice of that reality in that moment of time, but also images that evoke emotions in people, because that's the way they can actually connect with the people in the photos. So it's not trying to create a divide between people. It's actually trying to make people understand, you know, we all share the same values. We share the same values or similar values. We share the same emotions. Like, how would you feel in their shoes? So it does really matter, because I think often when you create really powerful images, they stand out from from the others that you can, you might stop for a few seconds longer and go, wow, that still image is really, really powerful and it says something to me. And if that does something to somebody, even for a few seconds, then, you know, great.
Absolutely. And lastly, as a photojournalist, it takes a lot of power and will and strength for you to be able to be in the face of danger. So what advice would you have to, let's say, an aspiring photojournalist or freelancer that wants to work closely to locations where there is war or disasters? What piece of advice would you give them for them to strengthen their armor as well?
I would say think really deeply about why you want to do this line of work, because it doesn't just affect you psychologically. You know, things you see, perhaps you lose colleagues along the way, which is very likely, especially in this field of conflict. And also it affects your family, and the decisions you make will impact them as well, because they worry about you. So I would say think about your real personal reasons behind doing it and what you feel like you have to say in documenting stories from conflict zones before crossing that line to do it or not.
Which is why I urge our dear listeners to attend Nicole's upcoming talk session at Stage X. It's titled What Is Left, and she will be sharing her journey, her life experiences in these war-torn conflicts. As you know, her exhibition is kind of speaks for itself, and I will admit there are times I had to kind of take a moment to step back and maybe look away, because it can be a little bit hard to just sort of witness. But it's, again, like I said from the very beginning, a very necessary type of exhibition, an awareness that is much needed. And we thank you, Nicole, for being here at Exposure and building on that awareness. And again, I urge our listeners to attend the talk session happening on the 2nd of March at 5 p.m. titled What Is Left. Again, Nicole, an absolute pleasure. Thank you for
being
here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much.
We're going to take a short break, and coming up next, continuing our highlight of the daily agenda for the 8th edition of Exposure, and so much more, only here on Pulse 95.